CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
And we're back on Unbranded. This is Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. This is where we look at how people impact brands and how brands impact people. And today's focus is going to be the information, communication, and technology sector. That's right, ICT. Previously, it's a male-dominated industry globally, but there are steps being taken all around the world, especially here in Africa in the SADC region, to make sure that we turn that around, that we look at how women can reshape and rebrand the idea of ICT. It's one of those sort of industries that men got a head start in, but we are committed to looking at, you know, how the behavioral patterns inside of this sort of industry can be changed, how that we can integrate women. And we're going to focus today a conversation that looks at specifically what's being done currently, what we can do differently, and what the opportunities are in the ICT sector in this part of the world. We'll share a few case studies from around the world and some of the trends that's happening. But most importantly, we want you to leave this conversation, if you're a male or female, understanding a bit more about what this ICT sector is, how much it contributes to our GDP, and why it's so important for women to be integrated and assimilated into this space. And I am very fortunate to have our resident, our own Miss Rianette Lebowitz, who is the founder of Cyber Health, or Safety Net. It's a cyber health sort of focus that looks at making sure that people are thriving online. And we have her in studio now to chat about how she won. She was a first runner-up on GovTech Women ICT Awards. Welcome to the show, Rianette.
Thank you so much, Tim. It's awesome to be here again.
It's good to have you, specifically because we're the result. This product, Cliff Central, is the result of sort of the ICT sector. If it wasn't for ICT, period, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yes.
So, and your work and your dedication to this space is really important. We're really grateful that we're able to highlight you as a leading voice in this space.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Awesome. So let's talk about ICT. First of all, information and communications technology is an umbrella term that includes any communication device or application encompassing radio, television, cellular phones, computer, network hardware, software, satellite systems, and so on, as well as the various services and applications. This is a broad industry, isn't it?
It's broad. It's so full of opportunities, and I think that's why, you know, the topic that we're discussing today is so relevant. First of all, because, I mean, we live in this fantastic age where things are changing so quickly, and secondly, it actually touches everything that we do nowadays, from education right through to, you know, our fridges.
Well, here's the reality. I mean, when Ms. Bui Buthelezi, she's the founder of Women in ICT here at sort of the GovTech, where you won an award, you know, the reality is that, you know, she sort of highlights that while in the past two decades there has been a lot of talk about the transformative power of technology in society, there's been little attention has been paid to an emerging digital gap. Mm-hmm. And this digital gap is, you know, between sort of men and women across this continent, more men have access to sort of ICT, the ICT space than men do. Do you see this in your work?
I guess it would depend on what angle you look at it from. You know, if you look at the workforce and how many women are in the workforce represented versus women at home and, you know, who look after their kids, maybe that has an impact there. But for me personally, I've never had a resistance. I've never experienced, any situation where because I'm a woman, I wasn't afforded an opportunity.
Got it. Maybe it's structural. I mean, men are twice is likely to have access to the internet as women. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because if you look from an education perspective, if you look at from a, you know, sort of career perspective, this has extraordinary implications.
Yes.
Across society. And I think that if we're going to sort of move forward and achieve our Millennium Development Goals, tackling everything from poverty to health issues and so forth, this is a critical, critical issue. But let's go back and let's really understand, for those who have not really got a chance to really sort of understand who you are, they love your cyber health feature and they love the work you're doing at Safety Net. Let's understand a little bit more about why you're passionate about this space. space?
Well, my background is in PR marketing. So luckily, and when you look back on your career, you can see the stepping stones and how they were laid out for you. I've been working on technology brands from Motorola through to Microsoft and Adobe Systems. But this passion for what I currently do really started about 3 years ago when I was listening to a forensic analyst called Danny Myburg from SciNRA speak about the impact cyberbullying has on the youth and the fact that there are so many alarming statistics showing that young people are committing suicide because of cyberbullying. And my heart broke. I thought, wow, this cannot be real. Wow. I honestly thought, come on, it can't be that bad. Because seriously, I mean, you know, social media is just, it's just there for fun. And then I started doing some research and I took about a year to really look at who the players are and why cyberbullying is such a big deal. And I realized, and I got to the shocking conclusion, that it's much bigger than just cyberbullying, because you get about 10 different types of cyberbullying. You get pornography that's part of cyberbullying. And I realized that there isn't a lot of help out there. There's many organizations, and this is really great. Many people and organizations who speak about this at schools and at corporates. However, if you are in trouble, where do you actually go? And that's where Safety Net was born and why it was born, because we save lives by creating awareness for responsible digital engagement. And we want to be that net for anyone who falls from cyberspace so that you know where to go to for help.
And this is a real issue. I mean, sometimes people take this lightly. You know, I was drawn to the intensity of how serious this is when I watched Monica Lewinsky's TED Talk. It was riveting, wasn't it? It was gripping listening to her speak about, you know, how the psychological trauma that people go through dealing with sort of an online footprint that develops into a reputation.
Yes.
And I'm so thrilled that you're doing this work. And if you're just tuning in, I'm chatting to Rianette Lebowitz. She's an award-winning first runner-up. I say award-winning because if you're in the top five, you won something, right?
It's a huge privilege.
Yeah, it's a huge privilege because ultimately it's not about just the award. It's about your voice is being elevated as a leading thinker and a voice in this space of ICT. Take us back 3 years ago. Did you imagine that you'd be on that stage at this GovTech Award? Did you even know about these awards back then?
I didn't know about the awards back then, and I certainly don't do this for the awards. I think the awards is like a really nice injection for me personally to keep on going, because it says, okay, people are taking seriously what we do, and the fact that you know, it boosts us a little bit to say keep on going. However, the bigger picture is here that the cyber safety message is put on a stage where government is taking it more seriously. And I know that they're doing a lot of work. And if you didn't know this, government is really doing a lot of work behind the scenes in terms of digital citizenship and safety for our kids and so forth. However, so for me, just to have Safety Net mentioned on that platform, to be recognized. And you know what, Tim? I think something that many people forget is that it's been 3 years. Lots of hard work, lots of sacrifices, lots of things that happened behind the scenes that, you know, you don't really see when someone's on stage or receiving an award like that. It's one fleeting moment of wonder.
It's quite an intense sort of application process. And, you know, getting to the point where the submissions, they had to go through a lot of submissions, but you needed, I like this in terms of the criteria, there was evidence needed. You couldn't just say, this is what I'm hoping to do. There needed to be bottom line delivery, practical evidence of innovative contributions to the ICT industry. Can I just go through some of yours quickly?
Please do.
Awesome. So if you are a woman and you're considering getting into ICT, or even if you're a man, you're listening and you've just popped in to see what's happening on Unbranded today, this is some of the things you should be thinking about in terms of your entire career, period. What is the evidence for your brand? What is the evidence? What are you doing practically? You know, it's in fact, in my personal brand manifesto exercise that I do with clients, one of the line items I have is evidence. What is the evidence you have that you can leverage against to grow your sort of personal voice? So Number one, you said, I created a service for people, tangible and accessible, to connect with relevant help for cyber-related issues, establish a network. She's being seen as a thought leader in various spaces, speaking circuit here at Cliff Central. The package we are most excited about is a cyber health toolkit. I feel strongly about enhancing our skills and understanding the industry better through continued education and learning programs. You know, I just sort of gave a snapshot of this because I want people to see and really understand that what you're doing is real and actually tangible and evidence-based. Where have you seen, where have you been, your heart, where's your heart been sort of punched almost? When you, what is something you've seen as you've been sort of developing this platform that's sort of gut-wrenching out there, that's terrifying as you, as a mother, when you see this stuff happening, it bothers you and it continues to drive you to build this work?
There are things that happen where that most people don't see, and that's the dark side of the web. And luckily, we don't know too much about it as general users, because that's just, it's too hectic to discuss on air. And the dark side of the web opens up so many really scary opportunities if you don't teach your kids to be responsible online. So that's where the criminal activities happen. That's where the real gruesome stuff goes on. From a more, user-friendly point of view, if I can call it that, things that break my heart, Tim, is like what people do to each other on social media. And what we've seen this year, you know, where people actually take things out of context, where people take a photo that was accidentally shared on WhatsApp in a close group, and then they go and share that. It breaks my heart because they just don't consider the impact.
Got it. People want power, and you can see that, people are dying to be able to say that I started this trend. I started this. Mm. I impacted this person's life. So people, are dying for power. But on the flip side, that's the sheer genius of ICT. I mean, campaigns and movements like sort of Bring Back Our Girls, it's a product of ICT, putting pressure on governments globally. There's another sort of campaign called MEWC. Make Every Woman Count, and it's an essential ICT sector sort of driven initiative, and they believe it's important too to train women so that they're able to access political arena more easily. And both locally and globally, the focus has really started to shift because they've seen that women's touch in this specific area is fairly unique. I want to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the specific sort of global cases that where women are doing extraordinary work. And I want to get your thoughts, particularly on the Yahoo CEO, and if you felt like she faced unnecessary pressure just because she's a woman.
Good.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome back to Unbranded. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate everyone who has subscribed. I keep meeting you guys on the streets, online, and I'm so grateful. Raina and I are both very grateful that we understand this is an organic process of building relationship with listeners. And for anyone who spends the data and downloads the podcast, downloads the app, and listens to our content on Unbranded, we really, really thank you so much. And I see you guys at talks and so forth, and it really does mean a lot. Today we're speaking about ICT and how ICT, the idea of it, is being rebranded and reshaped by women who are coming into the scene both locally and globally. And we're speaking to Rianette Lebowitz, founder of SafetyNet. That's SAVENET. And they help people thrive online and protect people and protect young people and old people and all of us, really starting to understand how to thrive and navigate this sort of ICT sort of online virtual space. So today we look at women. The women is the focus, and that's why we have Rianette here. She was the esteemed sort of first runner up in the GovTech ICT 2016 awards. Rianette, when you were in the audience and they were calling out the winners, was there a moment when you know that when they flash the camera at the Grammys and to show people's faces when the winner is called up. Were you smiling for the winner?
You know what? I was smiling because they gave each of the three nominees, they give each one of us, they put our photos up and they spoke about our stories.
Okay.
So they already shared the message and why this why we were chosen, and Safety Net was there, which was awesome. So yes, I was smiling.
You were smiling. And you, who did you go with?
I went alone.
You went alone?
Yes.
Why you didn't call me? Oh, my goodness.
Next time I'll definitely call you.
Okay, cool. And did you have a speech prepared?
I did have a speech prepared because, you know, you go there with the hope and the trust that there is an opportunity for you to win.
Yeah, and you didn't give the speech?
I wasn't the winner, so the winner got a chance to
say anything.
Yeah, so maybe I can do my speech now.
I think you should give us a little bit of your speech.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, here we go. Drum roll, please. Please welcome first runner-up, Rianette from Safety Net.
Yoo-hoo!
Woo!
Wow. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Honorable Minister and guests, ladies and gentlemen, this is really a really big moment for me. And as we all know, no man is an island, because I didn't get here by myself. There are many people on my journey who's helped me, who's supported me. And those days when you feel like, oh, is this worth it? Who has been there behind the scenes, moving and pushing me forward. So I want to thank them. And I want to thank everyone who's believed in this vision of Safety Net. And then I want to say that Safety Net is there to remind us that each one of us have a fingerprint, which makes us unique. And it's with these fingerprints that we type messages or like or share things that will either break someone's heart or make their day. So let's be responsible digital citizens, and thank you so much for the award.
The music was about to play. Great job. Great speech. The crowd is emotional. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Tim. I feel better now.
You know, this idea of getting people to sort of thrive online and making sure that women have access to the ICT space to be able to deal with this sort of social injustice and stuff is absolutely critical. And I think merging those disciplines are important. And some of the leading voices globally that I can imagine in your world you must really want to meet. There are people such as, you know, I looked at the top 25 list of power women in it. And, you know, everyone knows Sheryl Sandberg, you know, the author of Lean In. By the way, how do you feel about this idea of leaning in? There's some people who feel like, even her, I think she mentioned recently that she wants to, you know, have a follow-up book because she realized she may have alienated certain women out there. You know, just in terms of not everyone has the resources to lean in.
Mm.
So how do you feel about this idea of women leaning in the ICT sector?
I think as women, we need to understand that we've got value to bring. We actually do have strengths. And when you realize that you are working for a vision, something bigger than you, then the resources and the resourcefulness, which is actually for me, resourcefulness is the key thing, then you'll be more open to opportunities and to actually explore things like what she talks about. And, Tom, I think sometimes we think that, listen, my small bit that I can do is not good enough or it doesn't make a difference. But at the end of the day, it is, like I said earlier, each thing is a stepping stone towards that bigger vision.
Which one of these women are you going to get to sort of partner and sponsor and work along with you from Safety Net? Is it IBM CEO Virginia Rometty? Is it the YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki? Or is it Marissa Mayer, or even Safra Katz from Oracle? Who will be your ideal dream partner?
Luckily with Safety Net, all of them can add value and without being in competition with each other, because we look at it holistically. But a very good place to start would be with Susan from YouTube, because I think that that's where a lot of the content that we try to warn people against and where we want people to just think before they post is happening. And I mean, video is so big. I mean, we all know that we would rather click on a video and have a quick laugh or watch a video or a TED talk and so forth instead of reading a whole, you know, article.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because if you look at all of them, even Mrs. Arendt, I hope I'm saying it right, she's a senior VP at Apple. You know, all of them occupy high pressure positions. This is not, it's not easy to be at this level. What are some of the challenges you faced or you've seen when it comes to, you know, doing deals and so forth? Do you find that the boardrooms take you serious? Is it seen? Is it easy? Do you feel there's pressure, unnecessary pressure? What's been your experience?
It really depends on the board and their the framework they have in terms of, if I may say this, the age of the men and also their traditions or their culture, their company culture.
Got it.
Some companies are really traditional where it is tough for me to get over the boundaries, and people who don't know me, I've got long blonde hair and light eyes, and sometimes, you know, you can just see, oh, they've got pre and misconceptions about the way I look. But in general, I think when they hear what your story is, why you're passionate and the value you are willing to bring to them, then their attitudes change and they see, wow, okay, there is collaboration. And obviously anyone who goes into a boardroom needs to understand that company's needs, their objectives and how we meet that. I mean, you need to be prepared and take responsibility in that way.
According to IT News Africa, here's the top 10 African women in ICT. Number one, Nombilelo Moholi. She was when this list came out, Telkom SA CEO. That's a very, very powerful position.
Oh, yes.
And she has 23 years experience in the telecoms industry.
Sure.
I mean, that's extraordinary background.
Yes.
You have the Toko Mwantembe. She is the CEO of Kutana Investment Groups and vast experience. I mean, she's one of the, she sits on the Vodacom board of directors.
Amazing.
And that's a very powerful position. And, you know, it's interesting how a lot of these guys are connected as well. You've got Feling Seka. She's a non-executive director of Business Connection, South African black-owned ICT company. I didn't know that. She was also the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, board deputy chairman and has chaired the Independent Broadcast Authority. That's a very sort of powerful sort of footprint. You got Zandile Mbele. She was appointed as executive public sector for Internet Solutions in 2010 and an executive director of transformation for the group in 2008. She plays a significant role as the group's executive sponsor for some public sector accounts for Dimension Data, IS, and Plessy. Number five, we've got Dr. Sebeletso Matabani, who has 25 years experience in broadcasting, film, and television sectors in the U.S. and South Africa. You've got Doreen Matlang, and she is the MD of Informatics, a software technology company based in Gaborone, Botswana. You've got Betty Tuo, and she joined Safaricom in December 2007 and is charged with managing the new products division there. Number eight, a woman I met at Dell's conference in Cape Town, Isis Inongo, and is InMobi's vice president and manager director for Africa. Brilliant young woman, great ideas about what's happening in the ICT. She's led development on mobile strategy for Africa for brands such as the MTV and Google. Extraordinary woman. You've got Funke Opek. She leads the main one cable company in Nigeria. She's experienced in telecoms communications executives who has founded Main Street Technologies. And then lastly, number 10, Angela Gahangan. She is the MTN Business Managing Executive and twice nominated candidate for Business Woman of the Year Award. Now, when I go through this list, you can see that across the continent, there are leading women who are making a fundamental difference. But where are some of the gaps? Where do you see that we need more women?
Just thinking quickly, I think, Shotam, I must say, for me, the gaps are, I don't focus on the gaps, so I need to think about it, because I'm so inspired by women like the names you just mentioned and the impact they have, and that they're willing to go to the boardroom and have an impact on that level. But so many of those women have women at their offices, you know, managing their diaries and their schedules and making sure that they do attend the relevant events, etc.
Absolutely.
So there's actually so many, if you look at the footprints, women's footprints, and again, it's all part of a team. Whether you're a woman or a man, at the end of the day, it's about the bigger vision. In education, for instance, I can see that when I spoke to a big group of principals the other day, organized by government, it was a principals meeting, there was a really nice balanced representation. And I could see that the women and the men were both touched by each topic that was discussed in terms of digital and education.
Nice.
So for me, it's really, it's quite refreshing and nice to see, because some of these spaces are new for us to enter and we're disrupting a little bit. And it's really good and heartwarming to see that they actually do take it seriously.
Give us a couple tips in terms of ways to sort of integrate. So if there's a woman listening and she's interested in plan at a very sort of strategic level, what are some ideas? What are some things that she can consider and do in terms of networking, in terms of going about? I know networking is one of your strengths. What are some things that she can do to sort of get her voice heard in this space?
I think you need to understand the value you bring. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Is it needs to be bigger than you. It needs to be part of a solution and answering a need. So understand the value you bring. Secondly, understand the balance in terms of this. You know what? I love what's happening within the ICT sector. I really think it's great in terms of education and what we expose our kids to nowadays. But bring some balance into the conversation as well. Show that you are not just there for the technology or implementing this and that, but that you're actually there for the human as well. To bring in the balance in terms of not just looking at technology, looking at someone's heartstrings, relationships, and what technology can actually, you know, how it empowers
us
there.
That's one of the key. I get it.
And then networking. Oh, it's a big thing, Tim. I mean, and it's something that not everyone enjoys to do because they don't practice it enough. And it's, I think some of us, even I love networking. I mean, I get energized by meeting new people. However, there are days when you're really tired and you think, oh, I wish I could just tonight take a bath and go to bed. However, you need to go to this event.
But how do you energize yourself for this event? In fact, when you get to the event and you see people who are being biased and they're looking at you funny because you're just a woman or you're a blonde or you're short or you whatever, how do you take your mind, zoom into the moment, and build yourself up to be able to make it effective?
You put your big girl shoes on. You stand up, you take a deep breath, and literally you wear confidence because you are there for a reason. You don't go there just because you want to hang out. So for me, it's important to understand why I'm attending that event. You know, most of the time it is to listen to the speaker, get some insight. And if you want to meet people, know who you should meet. And that's where the research before the event helps a lot. If you do have time before the event to check who's going to be partners or sponsors, who will be the type of people who are attending. And if you have that information, who are the actual people attending, so that you can write their names down and try to meet them. So when you're at the event, what energizes me is really to just focus on not what I can gain from it necessarily, but also to hear what other people's stories are. Because if you go to an event and you just listen to their needs, things that they struggle with. So it's about asking the relevant questions, understanding what challenges they have and so forth. Then you leave there having a better understanding of the product you can bring to their table when you finally meet them. If you do get the opportunity to have a boardroom meeting, then you've got insight. And one thing that I always say in terms of networking, just a sideline note, is to ask questions that are not relevant to work, but like, what's your favorite smell? Because you can get to know people so much better. So Tim, what's your favorite smell?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, I want us to have a show where we go into some of my favorite stuff, because I think it'll be funny. But I want to focus this conversation back on this sort of getting into ICT. And this is important. So you've mentioned three things: understanding the value you bring, to bring balance, consider offering value in not just the hard, not just the soft, but find the balance on all sides. Wear confidence when you're networking. Anything else you want to add there?
I would just say that, you know what? You have something to bring, and you need to bring it, because if you don't, there will be a gap.
So coming back to the gaps. Bring the value.
Yes.
Now, this is, for me, is very interesting, because you did mention innovation. Now, for example, when it comes to Cliff Central, your value at Cliff Central is that you brought something innovative, right? It's mm-hmm. a fairly new platform here at Cliff Central, and there was no one offering a bite-sized chunk that someone can listen to in a matter of under 10 minutes to really help save their life. And I believe that that level of innovation is desperately needed out there. How do you identify an innovative opportunity? What are some of the things you do? Like when you decided to come up with a cyber health feature, what was sort of the steps you took to sort of build it and pitch it?
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Timothy, because I think when you listen to these conversations at networking events, you see those gaps, and that's where you are pushed to then innovate, right? So for me, in this case, research, learning, understanding what value we can bring, listening to feedback that we get, and just showing up every week, making sure that we do the show, that we show up, that we actually bring something. I mean, there's so much we can talk about. We can talk about all day about cyber safety and things that's going on in this industry. But yeah, I think, again, bring what you can. Because if we don't, there's a gap or there's something missing.
Got it. So identify the gap and bring your value into that gap and bridge it.
Yes, and do your work.
And do the work consistency.
Yeah.
I like that, because the consistency is the key. I see so many people jump on board. I mean, even if you look at all platforms across, with something new, people get excited, jump on board, and then as the energy dies down, they fall off. And I've seen it over and over in various platforms. I look at, you know, writing for the Star newspaper, going into my sort of 12th year. I've seen so many contributors come and go.
Yeah.
But and I've also witnessed their careers come and go. Because if you're not willing to be consistent in a particular space, it says something about you.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's particularly nowadays. People change and they move all over. But being able to find your sweet spot and settle there, I think, is really important. And, you know, someone said something to me. Where was I? I was recently at a conference. And a woman stood up and she says that she enjoys the fact that there aren't many women in the construction space, because when she goes in, she can focus the attention on her and start to deliver the value. And I asked her a question. I said, what happens when the attention goes in the wrong direction? She says, I just quickly smile and I bring it back.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. And I was like, that makes so much sense. So being able to enjoy the fact that most places you go, if you're looking to be innovative, there probably won't be anybody who looks like you, or there won't be anyone who's ever heard of the idea that you have, and celebrating that, right?
Yes.
I think that's important, is to celebrate that. When it comes to, you know, the future of cyber health, the future of safety net, tell us a little bit more about where you see, what is your vision? What can you imagine? You've got some virtual reality headsets you're going to take into schools where you get kids to see themselves performing responsibly online. Tell us about your vision for SafetyNet.
I've got a big one. That's one of those hair-raising visions for next year. We want to touch and get 1 million people who are cyber savvy next year.
Million cyber savvy people. Are they going to get a certificate? Are they going to get a badge? Are they going to wear a bracelet?
We will tell you all those details in the beginning of the year. However, it's a hair-raising goal, and it's going to be worldwide. It doesn't just have to be South Africa. And we're currently speaking with partners all over the world, which is really exciting. So the vision for SafetyNet is to help people, first of all, to save lives. But to be practical, next year we want to see our cyber savvy kids employed at schools, where we look at their policies, we look at how they communicate to their stakeholders, and that they've got a toolkit for in case there is a cyber safety issue, whether it's a cyberbullying issue, pornography at school, or someone who's dragging the school's name through the mud. We've got our panel ready, and we've got this awesome kit that we've developed. So that's just one of the practical things that we're going to employ next year. One key thing, and I think it comes back to your previous question, is also collaboration. We collaborate. We do not aim to have the whole pie. We just want to see that everyone who does eat this pie gets the value, and there are many people who add value. So for us, collaboration is a key thing, Timothy, and sometimes I find people who, they just want to hold on to their ideas. They just want to hold on to their businesses. And I think we could do so much more if we work together. But the people and the companies who have come on board and collaborate with us, together we thrive.
And when you're thriving and collaborating with people, when, you know, particularly in this vision that you have, right? One of the big keys you have when it comes to making sure you sustain collaborations? Because, you know, if you look at Nike and Apple, mm-hmm. and what that collaboration has brought to the world, it's brought joy, health to my life. It's brought me networks where I can run with people online.
Yes.
You know, it's brought, you know, just so much sort of the likability factor, because people enjoy seeing other people who look like them, who run with same sort of gear and so forth. It's just that level of collab, but they've sustained it and they've built on. I saw yesterday they've released the new Nike Apple Watch.
Okay.
It's a specific Apple Watch that's really focused on sort of health and exercise. And that didn't start yesterday.
Mm-mm.
That they've been working on this for a long time. So how do you go about sustaining relationships?
Well, it's all about the relationship, establishing it, understanding the value each party can bring to the table, and understanding each other's objectives, business objectives, because at the end of the day, you know what? Many companies go back to, where's the return on investment? What did this campaign do for us, etc.? And we need to really be sensitive to that. So relationships, then be open. I think, you know what? I really love to go to companies and partners who are open for ideas, where we push the boundaries and we say, listen, this is how you usually would do things, but we're giving you this vehicle through Safety Net to be very out there. And because we're a nonprofit company, there's no competition and those type of things that play a role. And then to be innovative, I think that comes together with pushing the boundaries. So we've done campaigns, and we're looking forward to next year launch a couple of campaigns where we're really going to take the whole cyber safety message from another angle, and where we're going to say, but okay, this is one part of a big puzzle. How can this message and this campaign actually influence things like fees must fall? Mm. How does this impact bigger issues, not just cyber related?
Maria, you know, you've done really wonderful work, but I know there must have been times when you wanted to give up, where partners, collaborators weren't being responsive. People were literally not getting back to you when they were supposed to. People didn't show up. How do you deal with that? I know you're quite a spiritual person. I want to speak to the person who has tried these things. They've gone out there and they've tried to make it in this space, and they really want to just give up. How do you continue to push when it's hard?
It's a good question. First of all, I've got a very supportive husband, and you know what? You take people for granted who look after your kids when you need to be at events and when you actually need to travel and so forth. And all those people behind the scenes help me to carry on personally. And when what you do is bigger than you, then it helps, because if this was about just establishing a business and making money, I would have done. Long ago. But it's been 3 years now that I've been dedicating my life to it. And for me, it's a purpose. It's my purpose. And I can see now we get at least 3 calls, you know, from schools a week now, where they say, please, can you help us with whatever the situation is? And that pays us and that keeps us going. But there have been people who say, listen, here is a huge amount of money we're going to sponsor. And then we get so excited as a Safety Net team, and we think, oh, this is going to enable this or that campaign. And then they don't. They don't keep their promises. And it hits hard. It really, it's that really beautiful quote of don't judge me on the times I've, you know, fallen, but judge me on the times I've gotten up. And that's something like I said earlier, it was a fleeting moment of amazing, spectacular attention on Sunday night when I received this award. But Monday morning, the hard work continued.
The reality.
You know, reality kicked in. We need to be sustainable. We need the partners to keep us going. And that's really our next phase for next year, is also to get partners who are willing to invest financially in us so that we can keep petrol in the tanks and to actually keep on going.
If you just tuned in, you listen to the passionate, the innovative, the first runner-up of the GovTech 2016 Women in ICT Awards, Rianette Lebowitz, founder of SafetyNet, that's SaveNet, SafetyNet. You can find them on Facebook, all over online. You can follow Rianette at Rianette. And what's the Twitter handle for SafetyNet?
It's SaveNet.
Oh, that simple, that easy. You're tuned in, and I would encourage you, if you just tuned in, to go back. We're going to upload the podcast shortly after we finish the show. But right now, I want to go to a quick break, and we're going to end this, and I want Rianette to tell us. She's been doing her Cyber Health Bite for over a year. I want her to tell us which is her favorite Cyber Health Bite and why. We'll be back.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome back to Unbranded. As we close today's show, where we're focusing on ICT, women in ICT, and how they're reshaping and rebranding the idea of what it means to be an ICT, specifically because we want more women to be able to sort of participate in the economy, deal with social injustice, and there's no better way to do it than making sure women are empowered and in the ICT sector. And we've been chatting to Rianette Lebowitz from SafetyNet, an extraordinary sort of leading voice who was the first runner-up in the GovTech Women sort of 2016 awards. And we are just really grateful you're part of this sort of movement. I know Cliff Central is grateful, and I'm certainly grateful. Your Cyber Health Bite, you've been doing it for nearly 2 years now. Time flies, doesn't it?
Hectic. Can't believe it. If you had to count them,
it's
in
incredible.
Minutes.
Time really does fly. But do you have a favorite? I mean, I have a number of favorites. I mean, there have been times when you were going through I'm sitting here watching you and I'm listening going, this is mind blowing. And some of the settings on the phone, how to make sure that, you know, the people are not able to sort of access your details, and how people sort of take your details and their settings on apps. There's been so many extraordinarily insightful tips you've given. But I want to know, do you have a favorite?
I would say the first one I did was about how to be safe during the holidays. And it was about, you know, not just going to pop the champagne and then the next day you see, oh man, did I share that?
Yes,
tweet that? I think for besides the actual message and the tips, it was also the fact that it was just so amazing to sit behind a microphone and to be able to be given the opportunity, which I thank you and Cliff Central for, to actually share this message on a bigger platform, because it's something I'm so passionate about. It was really invigorating. It's so stunning. I mean, I love this environment.
Awesome. You have, for those who want to know more and want to engage more, it's not just this particular show that you featured on many, many shows. What are some of the shows that they can search for outside of SafetyNet? You've also interviewed people. Give us just quickly a few different sort of interviews you've done that you think people should listen to, and a couple of shows that you've been on where they should try to find those interviews.
Recently, there was quite a nice one about how to be safe in Wi-Fi hotspot areas on SABC News on their website. If you search for Rianette or SafetyNet, you'll find it, because there's written article but also video clips. That was quite a nice one. Also, Business Day TV, there are some new ones coming out for nice. That. And then I've done a lot of writing for a platform called All for Women. It's all and then the number four, women, which is more focused on teenagers and how parents can keep them safe. So many, many others, but those are some recent ones.
And do you have them on your Facebook page or your site? Or?
They are on the website at www.savetnet.com. And online, Google it as well. Yeah.
Just lastly, before we head out, I want to know quickly for you, at what age should a child get a cell phone?
At the age where you feel you've got a strong enough relationship that they would be able to come to you and tell you if they're in trouble.
No, but there
and
must
that
be
they
a
will,
standard.
No, hold on.
No, Rena,
and that
there
they
has
will
to be a
be?
Standard age. I have to, if I'm going to a school to speak and I'm saying to kids, I'm not, parents are not there. I'm telling the kids, hi guys, I know you guys want a cell phone, but you're too young. You're going to get one. You should think about it at this age.
Okay, here's the, here's a better way to phrase the question is to say what type of cell phone at what age. You can give your child a cell phone the moment they can actually press the button, which we know we've seen 3-year-olds know how to work an iPad. However, they don't need a smartphone. When your child is in school and you just want them to be able to say, Mom, I'm here or there, so they need to be able to receive certain people's phone calls and send you a face that looks sad or happy. You get those phones and those capabilities for the young ones. You need to be 13 to use most of the applications. So to get a smartphone.
A fully enabled smartphone like an adult, you really 13. Shouldn't get that until like 13. But then there are other options before then.
Yes.
Got it.
And luckily there are many nice apps, parental control apps. The kids know how to get around those too. Don't be fooled. I mean, we all know they are mini hackers. However, while they are unaware of it, you can use it to your advantage.
Got it. Awesome. Yep. And my last question to you is, do you have a favorite app on your phone?
It will have to be one that shows me the quickest way to get where I want to be, Google Maps. And I don't like Google Maps in terms of the fact that they can see where I am and everything that I do and the trips I take. However, it saves me loads of time to see which way is the quickest way.
Well, I have a new favorite one. It's called Daily Art Pro.
Oh, yeah?
So, and every day, even on my smart watch, Daily Art Pro delivers a, based on my setting, a piece of art from somewhere in history, either during the Renaissance period, wherever I'm focused on at the moment. It just pops up and gives me an alert in the background about the artist, how it impacted the society. And it's just wonderful because, you know, as much as I love art, we get so busy.
Yes.
And I have almost no notification set on my phone except for this one. I know that if my phone has a certain beep and my watch has a certain beep, that I know it's Daily Art Pro. And I get so excited. I've learned so much about art, like Rembrandt and so many different sort of chapters in history. And I think that's the power of ICT. It enriches us. It allows us the ability to sort of engage the world from a broader perspective than we could have ever done. So continue the work you're doing.
Thank
Make
you.
Sure that people sort of follow you online. That SaveTNet. Google it. You can find her. Fortunately, it's a unique sort of branding, so you won't find too many sort of knockoffs out there. You can find Rianette on Twitter as well. You can follow her personally as well as SaveTNet. Her name is spelled RIANETTE, and we're grateful that you continue to do this, and I'm glad someone is acknowledging you out there and giving you awards along your journey to continue encouraging you. We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded as well as a Cyber Health Bite.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.